The relationship with the Circle started when...
Because we had a client, the Venezuelan government.
The government's exiler, the official government, that they needed to deliver payments back to Venezuela during COVID. We knew that Circle and the Circle team not only had access to money that was compatible with AirTM, they were willing to do whatever it took to facilitate the flow, which was a very complex flow because, you know, assets came from the US government. They were seized assets.
On the show today, we're going to be diving into the world of financial inclusion and cross-border payments with our special guest, Ruben Galindo of AirTM. Ruben, welcome to the show. Thank you for being here.
Sam, thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Welcome to the Builder Series, where we spotlight visionaries transforming technology and innovation with USDC and the Circle Developer Platform. Ruben, it's been great seeing you over the years. I want to start off with your founding story. Can you share the story of how you and your co-founders came together to start AirTM?
Sure. So it was 2015. I was in the middle of college. My father had a friend that had started a crypto exchange company in San Francisco. And I asked him for an internship. He gave me an internship. There, I was tasked with sort of understanding how this exchange was used by, I guess, by people around the world, and also why it was better or worse. So I would do a lot of sort of testing of different exchanges that allowed you to go from crypto to dollars and back. And so the most interesting use case that we found for the technology was in Argentina, where we found that people were not able or allowed to save money in dollars. And that was crazy.
Wow, they weren't allowed?
They were not allowed. There was a currency regime. Currency regimes, very common. They tried to restrict people's ability to save in good money, in stable currency. And so we thought that was crazy. That, in conjunction with the newfound value and respect that I had for freedom at the individual level, I was like, oh my God, we need to build a restrictionless way for people to buy stable currency. And so we launched maybe the first stablecoin wallet in the world in 2015. Our anniversary is, I think, in March. So in March, wow, will be March 25. It'll happen 10 years as we launched there. Yeah, I mean, we did
2015. That is so early. Like when I think about it, when I go back, because I was in the space in 2015, you're right. I mean, pretty much people use exchanges, but there weren't wallets that were, you know, that were out there that was common.
What we innovated on was on this restrictionless side was, okay, well, we can create these accounts for people that are in Argentina to freely get access to stable currency, because we're just going to build something for them. But the issue is, well, how do you allow them to deposit and withdraw money into their AirTM account, or to withdraw once they actually have dollars in AirTM? So we built this, I guess, virtual marketplace where people could exchange their local money with random people online for their dollar balance with AirTM. And so we did that. And we basically spent a lot of it on advertising, trying to get people in Argentina and in Venezuela, where we found there was an even crazier inflation situation, and our cost of acquiring a client in Venezuela was like 10 cents or something. And so we basically spent a lot of money trying to see how and who wanted to buy dollars in this platform. It turned out a lot of people. And so we grew and we grew and we grew until the local dictator was like, no, you're not going to grow in my country. At some point in 2017, he ended up sending SWAT teams to our support team's homes in Venezuela.
Wait, what?
They were able to make it out, all of them, because we had an informant that would tell us who was on that list and when they were going to show up. And so they ended up sort of leaving Venezuela, thanks to, I guess, one of our co-founders who sort of managed that. Early startup days and early crypto days, that was a thing. Like,
I could not imagine what it must have been like to be living through that experience. Looking back, what would you say were some of the pivotal moments that significantly impacted AirTM's development and direction?
And so we realized that there was a lot of people in different countries that were using EURTM as a way to bridge money they earned online to local currency, mainly money in PayPal, Amazon, Payoneer, Neteller, Skrill, all the legacy wallets that are still quite big. And they would use EURTM because EURTM would allow them to go from these balance in these wallets to local currency in about 30 minutes. They could find an EURTM cashier who could sort of cash them out, meaning who could buy their EURTM money and give them local currency instead. That hub was worth up to 30% of people's money. So people were willing to pay 30% of the money they earned online, got paid in PayPal, just to cash out because they needed it today. That's the value of having money in your bank account 7 days sooner. That to us was a huge insight. It was what sort of shaped EURTM's course and is what made us see the inefficiencies in the current sort of e-wallet space or the current electronic cross-border payment. And so I guess that was our ground of firsthand experience with the value of electronic money that's borderless. And we've been sort of pioneering that space ever since. Then another sort of pivotal sort of insight we had was when we realized that people in the global south really value dollars, but not everyone can afford to buy dollars. There's oftentimes the infrastructure to buy dollars. Either it's parallel or sort of official, but there is the infrastructure to buy dollars somehow. What people lack is disposable income at the end of the month or a culture of saving. It's very cool for us all to be, you know, pushing USDC and other stable coins out to people throughout the global south, and we will find some success, but we will also find the constraints of that product. And the constraints are either there's not a very high culture of saving money, and two, people cannot afford to save at the end of the month. At the same time, people are left with their desire for dollars. And so that's what led us to say, okay, well, how about we help people earn money online? How about we allow people to earn dollars online? And so that's another insight that sort of shaped EURTM.
Hey, look, I want to thank each and every single one of you builders for taking the time to watch this video. And as a special thank you, I'm offering $100 in credits towards Circle's developer services. That's right. Sign up today at circle.com/build. That's B-U-I-L-D to automatically receive yours. How far can that go? Well, look, that's enough for about 1 month of managing 2,000 active wallets, or it could go towards 200,000 smart contract platform API calls, or you know what? You can even use those to sponsor network fees. Make sure to go ahead and sign up right now. That's circle.com/build to receive your $100 in credits now. You know, let's talk about, you know, the connection to Circle. How did that relationship get birthed?
The relationship to Circle started when, because we had a client, the Venezuelan government, the government's exiler, the official government, that they needed to deliver payments back to Venezuela during COVID. We knew that Circle and the Circle team not only had access to money that was compatible with EURTM, they were willing to do whatever it took to facilitate the flow, which was a very complex flow because, you know, assets came from the U.S. government. They were seized assets from the dictator Maduro. And the U.S. government was repurposing them by, I guess, giving the official government or the rightful government a disposition of these funds. And so they wanted to give aid to people sort of fighting the pandemic, doctors and nurses. But they needed a way to get money from a U.S. bank to Venezuela. And so we went to Jeremy and Cash and we told them about the use case. We were like, let's do it.
I mean, how neat is that, right? When you were starting off, you were running from the government of Venezuela. And then here you are, fast forward, you're coming to provide help, something to bring aid during the pandemic. You know, describe what did that feel like, Ruben? I mean, that I could only imagine the satisfaction.
We long for that feeling. I think everyone at EURTM remembers how we felt when our team got truly kicked out of their country, like, and they went into exile. Wow. And they remember the decision of working at RTM before that. That was such, I guess, a core part of their being that when they got exiled, they remained at RTM because RTM was aligned with that value that they had for freedom. And I think we all sort of feel or remember that feeling of doing something that was so important for us. That is like the myth of RTM. And when we sort of were able to help the government in exile to deliver aid, that was just like the greatest reward for having done what we had done.
That's a huge, you know, a huge project to start off a relationship with, right? How has that relationship with Circle kind of evolved?
I think Circle as RTM pioneered a space. And because we pioneered it, we truly had to dig deep and still has to dig deep to understand the core value that we sort of bring to the table in people's lives. And that's, I think, why we sort of go out to market together sometimes, is because we are aligned that sort of principle.
You know, this honestly has been a great conversation. I know we've been here for a while. Before we wrap up, I'm just kind of curious, you know, what perhaps is a predictions that you have for the growth of the digital economy, you know, kind of like in developing countries over the next few years?
I guess maybe I'll constrain my answer to the future of payments. I think throughout the history of internet payments, you've had maybe one main provider for cross-border payments, PayPal. They built a very solid moat for themselves in the U.S., where for a long time, most cross-border payments from the U.S. to the outside world. And I think that there's more and more providers of this connectivity, the U.S. banking system. And I think that is a tipping point. Then I think two things happen. I think, A, PayPal will get unbundled because more and more people will have access to that same connectivity to the U.S. banking system. And if access to the U.S. banking system and to U.S. fiat is commoditized, I think no one else will be able to build that type of business, one that centers around that as a core differentiator, access to the U.S. banking system. But two, I think it pushes a lot of innovation out to the edges, to the real use cases throughout the world. And I think that that's going to mean the use cases might be constrained or defined by geography or by some other parameter or common denominator amongst a group of people. For RTM, I think it means people who work online. But, you know, RTM is building a PayPal for people who work online, leveraging Bridges and Circle's U.S. banking connectivity. And I think others will be, so I was compelling an entrepreneur, well, build a PayPal just for aid, because aid is a huge world and it deserves its own payment service, PayPal for X, right? And then if you think about remittances, well, there should be one per country. I think that the cost of cross-border payments are going to continue lowering, and PayPal is going to be bundled by apps that do way more than just payments for very localized communities. And I think the name of the game is not going to be payment. It's not going to be efficiency or cost. Eventually, we all get to the same place, very low, cheap, fast value payments. You know, you're going to start seeing that payment services become more like communities or platforms that are more well-rounded given their precise use case.
You know what, that actually makes a lot of sense. You know, we've seen that with in the internet age, right, where entire companies, entire platforms have blossomed very well off of niche markets. That's a very, very intriguing vision you shared. Ruben, look, it's been really great to spend this time with you today. I hope everyone listening definitely enjoys. I would make sure in the description of this video and podcast that we have all the contact information you want to try it out. Definitely go check out RTM. And so very excited to see your growth. And as you know, my friend, I'm always cheering you on from the sideline. Happy to always see just the developments continue to rise for you. So thank you so much for hanging out with me today and speaking with our audience and sharing your history and wisdom for the future.
Thank you, Sam. And thanks, everybody, for listening.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Circle Builder Series. Check out the show notes for links to any resources mentioned in today's show. And if you enjoyed the show, please leave us a 5-star review and hit subscribe so you never miss an episode.